Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Cinema Wave podcast. Today, we are talking about the latest horror film that is taking everybody on the internet and the world by storm. We're talking Long Legs. It's a new release by Neon that is honestly sweeping the box office after this weekend. It stars Micah Monroe and Nicolas Cage. I will be one of your hosts today. I'm Liz Seiko, and I am joined by Vinny Albano.
Hello, hello.
Vinny, I'm pumped to talk about this film. Like, me too. Super hyped. So why don't we just dive into like our first thoughts? Because I don't know anything about what your thoughts are, and we haven't talked at all before them filming this. So give us your general thoughts. Tell us how you feel about it. What'd you come out thinking?
Okay, so starting off non-spoilers, so I'm gonna have to kind of dance around for a little bit, but I'm biased towards this subgenre, the procedural drama, thriller, suspense, and I loved this film. I really loved it up until a certain point. And I think there was literally a moment in the film where this movie felt like a movie made specifically for me. You know, some of my favorite TV shows being, we mentioned it before the rolling the cameras, how I love the anime Monster and True Detective. I love Memories of Murder, one of my favorite films of all time. And I could, you know, go on and on and on. And it had just the same amount of DNA from all those subjects of work, but also including such fresh atmosphere and such fresh aesthetic to the subgenre that I adored it. However, there was a point in the film where I literally said to myself, I'm like, okay, now the ending will make or break this. And it didn't particularly break it, but I was a little underwhelmed with the ending. Other than that, this is a chilling and suspenseful film through and through.
Yeah. I'm actually shocked because I thought we were going to disagree. And when I tell you, I fully agree with exactly what you said. I think that the first 45 minutes are pretty gorgeous, like a perfect my type of horror film. It's super nuanced. Just the environment that they're building, like the feeling of the creepiness slowly creeping in because you're trying to solve this puzzle of like what's going on, and just like the opening sequence and opening like credits, I loved it. I was like, ooh, this is art at its finest right now. And I agree, honestly, there was probably about halfway through I started to be like, I hope they're not going this route of horror and going into this like scary. They honestly for me started one way and then pivoted to a different storyline than what they marketed as. It's not disappointing, the ending, it just wasn't what I was hoping for. I think that I wanted a different vibe completely. But with that being said, it's still a great horror, scary movie. Yeah. It's definitely more, I wouldn't say this is a spoiler, but it's more demonic and like religious aspects than I one thought and honestly wanted. But with that being said, the performances of Nicolas Cage and Micah Monroe, oh my God.
Oh yeah.
Like they kill it. Micah's performance, I already really loved her from It Follows. I don't know if you've seen it, but that's one of my favorite. I wouldn't say It Follows is like a horror movie. It's more suspense. But that was one of like the staple pieces that I saw her in. And I think that she's just actually growing a lot more as an actor and getting more nuanced in her performance and adding dimension to her character. And Nicolas Cage is just wild as Long Legs. Like truly... Yeah. Truly a performance that I didn't expect coming from him, and I loved it. I think the screenplay started to nosedive a little bit towards the end. I think they got a little lost in where to go, and so they started grabbing on to the typical horror tropes, which I get it's hard to wrap up like a horror film, but I wanted a little bit more. But other than that, I mean, it's solid. It has a huge opening weekend compared to like other horror movies. It's coming out with $22.6 million. Hmm. And it's the biggest opening weekend for Neon Productions. So, I mean, it's killing it. I think the reason that it's sweeping the box office, though, is because of the marketing. People are just nonstop talking about the marketing for this film. And it's because, I don't know if you saw it, but their marketing, they claim to be the scariest movie of all time. Hmm. Which, I don't know if you feel this way, but I do not think it's the scariest movie of all time. It might be the scariest movie of this year that I've at least seen, but I wouldn't say all time.
Yeah, I will say my expectations going, because I saw a handful of the marketing.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah, and there was a lot of hype.
Yeah.
And I was expecting this to be just an outright disturbing. I was kind of expecting something like Hereditary, which is not what I got. But I was still satisfied regardless. This is much more of like a thriller, suspense, closer to something of Silence of the Lambs and something of that nature than something of like Hereditary.
Yeah.
So I was still satisfied, but yeah, the marketing is incredible. Just definitely put a different expectation in my head. Going to, because I wanted to comment on the performances.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of people online. A friend of mine also complained about not connecting with Micah Monroe's character, Lee Harker, at first.
Okay.
For me, I was the opposite. For me, I adored her performance all throughout, and I loved immediately how they just set her up as this extremely introverted, like, extremely just kind of loner character, and I loved that, and I resonated with that, and I clinged on to her character immediately. And same with Nicolas Cage. He kills it here. It's just like, it's Nicolas Cage, you know, he's wild, and he's almost goofy at parts, but with help of makeup and just this eerie tone that Osgood Perkins builds with the film, it works. Yeah. It somehow works. So.
No, I agree. I think their performances are great. I think let's get into spoilers now and start talking about like the overall story and everything. So if you haven't seen Long Legs yet, you should go see it. If you're a fan of scary or horror movies, I think it is a great one. And from this point on, we are going to be talking spoilers. So you have been warned, people. Okay, let's just like dive, I guess, right in to what part did you really start to feel like it started dropping?
So I know you said about like the halfway mark for you. For me, I honestly was up until the last scene.
Oh,
the very last
scene. Wait, like the very last shot or like which scene?
The scene when she arrives at her
mom,
Agent Carter's house.
Oh, okay.
And is dealing with the family there. Everything before that, I adore.
Got it.
For me too, is like, okay, they're pivoting in this more supernatural direction, but what I thought they were doing and what I almost wished they were doing was more of like a supernatural up to your interpretation, you know? Like I mentioned Monster, and in Monster it is not a supernatural show at all, but there is things in Monster that are so mysterious, and they build this such creepy atmosphere that, and characters kind of allude to it being like, oh, he's the devil. He's this, or that's that. This is the devil's work. And you then are like, as an audience, left to interpret like, no, this is a grounded show. This can't be the devil's work.
Yeah, like he's still a person that made those decisions.
Yeah.
Like it's not him being driven by it.
Yeah. And it's not like, yeah, it's more, it's not the devil's work, but it's more almost, like I mentioned, kind of up your interpretation almost, kind of this mysterious force. And I love that creepiness. When they finally in the last scene gave us like a definite answer of like, this is supernatural.
Yeah.
Then I was like, okay.
I know. I felt the same way. I felt, It was kind of when they really started to, honestly, it was when, and this is a huge spoiler, it was when Cage's character kills himself, that I was kind of like, what a bummer. Like, you had this incredible, scary, creepy character that I wanted more from, because I actually don't think we got, and this is where the screenplay for me lacks, is... Yes, we got an explanation of why everything's happening, but we have no explanation, unless I missed it, of why Cage's character, like, became this way.
Yeah.
Like, why is his character involved in any of this, or how did it start? Like, and I don't know. I personally think scary movies are a little bit more scarier when you take the... I agree. When it's not just so, like... Oh, it's supernatural, because then I'm like, all right, well, like, it's not that scary because it's a supernatural explanation. Yeah. It's not like a real person, because that, for me, real people are scarier than the supernatural.
I agree.
Yeah.
I
and agree. So the moment that they made it so literal, and it wasn't just, you said it perfectly, that it wasn't up for interpretation by taking his character out of the story. I was like, so there's no question anymore of if he was working alone or if he was doing it by himself, because you just completely killed your antagonist. And I just wanted to see more of... So I felt like the beginning was great. They really set the scene, getting her wrapped up in it. It was definitely believable. I wish that they had just shown a little bit more of the connections of the past a little bit clearer to us. I think that they skipped a lot of steps to get us to the points of her realization. It was more just like, oh, she did all the work. We don't get to see it, how she made those connections, but she made these connections. So just like believe it and go with it, which as an audience member, I would have liked to have seen like a couple of the other murders to understand like, okay, are they all exactly the same? And like, if they are all the same, how does she not know that it almost happened to her?
Yeah, I agree, but I also disagree with some of the stuff you
talk
said.
Talk to me.
For me, I think killing Cage's character, or the suicide that he commits, I don't think that was necessarily a bad thing.
Okay.
Because I think I actually was like, oh shit, okay.
Oh, okay.
I liked that, because now that pivoted the story in a direction where it's like, if he is a master manipulator and he's able to manipulate, I mean, before we learn that it's Satan's doing.
Yeah.
But if he was a master manipulator and he was able to manipulate multiple people working as accomplices to him, then I was like, wow, I'm excited to see, even after his death, his power just kind of flowing through. And we got a little bit of that. We did get that. So I don't think that was necessarily a bad thing. And I don't necessarily think that we need to know his backstory, or we need to know all the details.
I
because I'm just thinking of it like, if this was like a TV show, maybe. But for the runtime that it is, I think it has such a great pace. I was never bored.
I was never bored.
Yeah, and it was never like slow at any points, in my opinion. And I think it just gave us just enough information. For me, it's really that, for me, my, and this is where I agree with you, is my biggest problem was, like I mentioned, that ending scene where they give the definite answer.
Yeah.
Almost rather like they could have done it and executed it way better, or gone in a different direction, or honestly, I might have been a little bit more satisfied if they never even gave us an answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I truly thought that they were just gonna have her like kill her mom and then like never really come to a conclusion of like, was her mom actually involved?
Yeah.
Or like, and then it just like is all in the newspapers of like, oh, this woman, like, blah blah blah. But what I really started to also kind of like take a back seat, which again, it's not bad, it's just I didn't prefer it, was all of a sudden it became kind of like doll horror based on like these dolls that get passed around. It felt very Annabelle to me. And I was like, ooh, I was like, I so wanted there to be an original concept coming out at this finale. in this final act, but I felt that they just got a little nervous. Like I think the directing got a little nervous because they were like, yo, we're killing this right now. Like they knew they had a great script. And I get it. The ending is the hardest part for horror films because you don't know how to wrap it up without it being one cheesy, one realistic to the plot, and like entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think they got nervous, and then that made them recede back into just the natural instincts of when you make a horror film. It's like, okay, let's go with creepy doll that's possessed, that is like the work of the devil.
That's
how we're gonna wrap this all up. And then you just throw in a nun and like creepy, and it's like, no, like you guys had so much other potential. And I also feel like the main concept and main like plot point of the police procedural just got thrown out the door, and it wasn't anymore about a serial killer. It was about like spiritual and religious beings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is not what they promoted as, which I guess I could see if you like those types of horror films, you being like, yeah, this rocks. I don't really love those types of horror films. Just it's not my vibe. So I was a little bit let down by it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that a film like this could incorporate religious tones and creepy religion horror amidst also being this really suspenseful procedure thriller. And with them, like you said, it feels almost like they couldn't balance the both of them at the same time, so they just pivoted to one another towards that like halfway point of the film. I still think, though, like kind of going back and giving the film acclaim, it is so thrilling.
It is
so suspenseful. And I actually got two visceral, like physical chills two times.
Which points? Because one's in there's one I feel like I know.
Yeah. So one of them was, and kind of going back to my point of how I might be a little biased in this, I mentioned Monster. Mm-hmm. I love Monsters, not only one of my favorite animes of all time, it's one of my favorite stories ever told. And Monster shares the same quote, the same biblical Revelation 12:14 quote as this film. And when Nicolas Cage said that line of the Revelation quote, I got chills. Because immediately I'm like, where do I know that from? And this might be because I know it from Monster. And when I was like, where do I know that from? I know that. And I clicked. I'm like, oh, Johan from Monster. And that might just be because I already am so terrified of Johan from Monster as a character that my brain like connected those two dots. And then that's where I got that physical reaction from. But I did get chills from that moment. And then a moment that had nothing related to any sort of other media that I got chills from is when you first see the mother shotgun blast that detective, and Micah Monroe's character just grabs her mouth out of shock. That sent chills. Yeah. I was like, whoa, that was crazy.
Yeah, I will say that moment, actually right before when there, the camera's on the other detective in the car and you see the mom in the back windshield move, that actually got me. I was like, oh my God. I was like, I didn't expect her to be there. And I think it was very smart to bring the mom into it because the mom is so creepy in this. And you're just like, what is wrong with this woman? So I think it is smart for them to wrap her up in a way. And I actually didn't mind that they made the mom like the accomplice. I just wish that they had left out like the whole like, actually, I want to know, did you fully understand like the ball in the brain concept? Like, I didn't fully get what they were going for when the mother shot the doll in the head, and then she felt that reaction. Like, I didn't really fully understand what they were going with that.
Yeah.
Did you?
honestly,
it's not, I don't understand what the point was.
Yeah, not really. For me, my interpretation of that mm-hmm. was like the ball being a link between the soul and the person, kind of like a voodoo doll type of situation. And if you hurt the ball, then you hurt the person. That was my interpretation. Okay. You could even go a level deeper of like, if you destroy that ball, then you are separating the person from this satanic force that their soul has been intertwined with. You know, I feel like after Micah Monroe's character, her doll is destroyed, and you see almost like that black aura come off of her like head. Then she, in that last scene, acts and kills her mom. So maybe, I don't know. I think maybe now I'm trying to look too deep into it now that we're talking about it, but I just interpreted it as like almost like a voodoo doll situation, like intertwining the soul with a physical, tangible thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the one part for me that I was like, I'm not really fully understanding like this connection. And I guess like they don't need to explain it fully, because I do agree that like horror films, they get really bad when they start really like explaining every little detail. Like one of my favorite scary movies is The Shining, because it's just like they end on like a shot and you're like, I don't fully understand what's happening, but I love it. And like it leads the audience to come up with their own concepts. And I actually didn't mind them looping in the her partner's like family, because I do feel like they made a huge point of introducing them in the beginning. So I knew that they would wrap up eventually. I was like, okay, they're talking about a serial killer who focuses on families. He has a family. I was like, eventually this is going to correlate and they're going to wrap it up somehow with them. I just wish that it was like, I don't know. I just wish that it was like the characters were maybe a little bit smarter, like that she had seen that coming. Like at one, like I just feel like as an FBI agent, if you start to realize that you are somehow connected to the serial killer, you'd think that you'd start to be like, like who around me is probably going to die then? And then like put out feelers and like let your FBI friends know like, hey, you got a family and you're a dad. You should probably like be on alert.
And the birthday thing too.
Yeah. And the birthday thing. Like, come on. So there's like plot points that make the audience have to be a little bit more like, all right, I'll just let this pass. But I mean, either way, I was very entertained by this film. I don't think it's bad by any way. I just wanted a different ending. But there's a lot of people online that think it's like, it's incredible. And that it's one of like the newest films being added to like the horror, like best of the best.
Yeah, I mean, I can see where they're coming from too. Like I said, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I did really adore this film. This film was near perfect to someone like me. Like, it was just perfectly made for like my taste up until that last definite answer. I'm going to pivot the conversation here, because I do want to talk about what also solidifies this, you know, the rest of the film being so good, is I think a lot of the technical aspects. Like, Osgood Perkins has so much techniques he uses in this film to present this story and tell this story in such a unique and good way. You mentioned how you loved the opening title and the opening scene. Me too.
It was perfect.
Like the closed boxed aspect ratio to then the black text on the red background, and it's like filmic and kind of like blurry. I adore that. And I loved just all of that throughout the entire film. It could come off as almost pretentious or too artsy, but for this, it didn't. At least for me, I thought that this was fitting for the story. It was in your face, but it wasn't trying too much, you know. It was just subtle enough. And also, cinematography in this film is beautiful. I'm a visual eye. I'm a cinematographer myself. I got to talk about Andres Arochi's work here. He's not credited for much previous to this. I think this is his first feature film as a cinematographer.
Wow, chops to him. Good for him.
And it's beautiful. Yeah. It's beautiful. The whole film is shot with like this almost center of attention lighting. Mm-hmm. Characters are always framed at the middle of the frame. And all the light is always like placed right in the middle. And the edges of the frame are always just falling into darkness, mm-hmm. falling into shadow. And I don't know about you, but for me, I was constantly being like, is there something in the background? Like looking, because the cinematography is just, it's wants you to look in the middle, but you as like a horror fan are like,
you're okay. Like, what's in the sides? Like what are in the, what's in the far distance in the woods that we're not paying attention to?
Yeah. And I was doing that constantly. And I adore that they took that extra step on a technical level to have the audience behaving that way. And then on top of that, the film is shot almost entirely in wides. Mm-hmm. Like I don't think there was a single, I could be wrong, but there was never like a telephoto lens used. There was never like an extreme close up. So you're always getting this, even when it is close up, it's shot on wide angle lenses. Yeah. And like Micah Monroe's face and her chin is like distorted and it looks beautiful. But in like an eerie way, mm-hmm. right? Because it's not right. It's still distorted. Like a wide angle lens typically should never be that close to someone.
Yeah.
So I really love that. And I just loved how that all added to the atmosphere and how I mentioned this chilling suspense mm-hmm. just throughout.
No, I agree. I thought that it was gorgeous from the moment they started rolling. I was like, oh my God. I kept thinking to myself, I was like, because they had those quick like cuts too where they would flash into something. I just kept thinking, I was like, man, I can't wait to like rewatch this film because I feel like they're doing they're just leaving little bits and pieces for people to go and rewatch and be like, oh, I didn't see that before. Oh, yeah. I didn't see that before. And that is just such great. Suspense films are like, that's what people want to go back and rewatch. They don't want to just get the whole story on the first watch. They want to be able to go back and pick up little bits and pieces still that make them, their minds keep thinking. And I think that they carried it pretty well until the story started like snowballing and they had to keep up with the pace of the story. And that's when they were like, okay, no, we just have to like keep the story going. Like let's put the little like Easter eggs on the back burner a little bit. But no, I adored it. I also think that it made Long Legs, the character, even creepier how they were shooting Nicolas Cage. Like there was never really a long shot on him until the conversation between him and Micah's character.
Yeah.
Which I loved because it was just making you wait and wait and wait to finally get to see this person. Actually, no, the first time that you really get to like see him for a long period of time is when he's on the TV doing his confessional and they're all watching him too. I feel like that's really the first time that we get to actually see him for a long period of time.
And even like the first scene where he like pops up. Well,
it scared the shit out of me, honestly. I didn't expect it.
Or actually, not the opening scene. Oh, but the scene where like the first scene we kind of just see him out about in the world. Where he's in like, the camera store. He's in the camera store. But even in then, like, we see him, but we never see him. He has his hands on his eyes. Playing,
like some weird game.
Yeah, when he's walking through the alley, we only see the back of his head. Mm-hmm. And even when he's in the car, we only see his side profile. So we're never really looking into his eyes ever up until that scene you talk about, which is such a clever like way to build up a antagonist. I love that. I love that method. I always think of something like, I don't know if you've seen Avatar the Last Airbender.
No, I haven't.
But Avatar the Last Airbender, peak fiction, by the way. Fire Lord Ozai is this dominant force, mm-hmm. you know, this like tyrannical, like, oppressor, but we never see him. We only see him in silhouette, and Mark Hamill voices him in the show. And we hear his voice a couple times, but the first time we see him is not until, like, the last season.
Yeah.
And we see him, and it's like, oh, shit. Okay, now shit's real. So I love when filmmakers do that. It's just, like, building that just, it's like sinking your claws into the audience. Yeah,
I just wish that they had given us more of him, because I felt like they cut his character too soon. I know you disagree, but I don't know. Part of me thinks that it would have been really cool to see, like, how is he still having people die when he's in FBI control, like, when he's arrested and, like, in their building? Like, how is he still having these people killed? Just to see, like, the mind control that he has over these people. But, I mean, they ended up deciding to go a different way, which, I mean, it's their film. They can do whatever they want. But I wish they had just given his character a little bit more of power, I guess, and not just be like the outlet that this is happening from. I wish that his character had been the one doing all of this. Because that to me is more of serial killer, like throwing in the whole satanical thing takes out the serial killer aspect for me, and then it's just like, okay, no, this is a supernatural horror film then. Which I'd be interested to see actually what they have it labeled as. Hold on. Maybe they just have like horror. So it's horror, mystery, and crime fiction. Which it is crime fiction for the first half, but then I feel like eventually, like, when everything starts really happening, it's like, no, never mind. Like, forget about the crime. And like, I'm just shocked that she doesn't go with other people to her mother's house. Like, at this point, this girl is like in the center of all of this. You don't think that she needs more backup when she's going to her mother's house?
Yeah, I feel like from a logical point, I agree. I feel like in the film's defense for that, she is so established as this, like, loner from the beginning that, like, she doesn't want to even, like, even Agent Carter, when she finds out new details, she lies to him. So maybe that's why. I feel like that is why, where it's like kind of the film's way of a horror movie's way of, like, getting a character alone is having her be so introverted and so secretive. So she's almost like, she thinks that is the best demeanor towards this investigation.
Which, I mean, it does add, though, to just the overall suspense of the entire film and the environment. It does make you feel just like, oh, everything's secluded. Like, she's on her own out here trying to figure this out, and she doesn't have support. She's just freeballing it and hoping that she doesn't confront this terrible figure that's killing people.
Yeah, one of my favorite scenes, honestly, I kind of backtracking a little bit. I think this might be one of my last thoughts, because I don't really have too much to bounce off of anymore. But one of my favorite scenes, now that you mention it, was the scene in her home. She has this wooden cabin in the woods. And it's so eerie. And it plays out so smoothly in such a way that you're like, as an audience, like, whoa, what the fuck? What the fuck just happened? And I adore, I really like that, though. I really do like that, how, like, she gets a knock at the door, she investigates, she's claiming that she has insomnia at this point, you know, she can't sleep, she goes outside, there's a figure in the woods, then she looks back and there's just a man just walking. Yeah.
And, like, she, and the thing that I love, which, of course, because she's an FBI agent, there's no like typical horror dumb girl, like, screaming and running for her life. She's like, no, I have my gun, I'm gonna go, like, investigate and figure out what's happening. Like, I'm not just gonna run out of here, I'm gonna figure this out. And I love, this is, like, super side note, but I just loved that they actually had the sound of her breathing heavy throughout all those silent moments, because in horror films, there's always so much just silent. You don't hear anyone breathing, you don't hear anybody nervous, you just hear silent until the jump scare happens. And I loved that they actually let her, like, nervous breathing come through, because it just added to the suspense of, like, oh my god, she's going in there to like figure out what's happening.
No, I agree. It felt like raw.
Yeah.
It felt raw. It felt real. Mm-hmm. So I 100% agree with that.
No, I agree. All right. Well, then I guess let's get into scores.
Okay.
What do you... I haven't come up with a score yet. So why don't you go first, Vinny?
Okay. Yeah. Like I said, I'm going to stick with... I'm not going to do the decimal thing. I'm just going to stay solid. A very high, solid 8.
Yeah,
okay. I really, really enjoyed this film. It was just, you know, like I said, like that last scene was just, it just didn't hit. Even with the supernatural elements that were foreshadowed and built up to that point, like we mentioned, like I almost was going at it of like, okay, this is a belief thing. This mm-hmm. is a interpretive thing. But no, that no, last scene legit. Makes it a definite, and then having it like definite just loses it from being a near masterpiece.
Yeah. I do want to know, so what did you think of like the last shot of Cage's character, like the campiness of him then like winking and like kissing at the camera, saying like hail Satan, like what? I did not like that.
I didn't like that
all.
Either.
I was like, why are we going like full camp right now and like making it like a joking satirical matter right now? I just was like, this is not the film that we just watched.
Yeah, I didn't like that either. That felt out of place.
Very out of place. Yeah. It felt like they were like, that was funny.
Yeah.
Let's throw it on there. Ha ha ha. And I was just like, yo, what are we doing right now? But other than that, I mean, I did love this film. I thought it was very good until halfway through. I think it's very entertaining. If you are a horror fan, you'll love it probably. I just don't really love horror films. I prefer them to be psychological, less like spiritual and demonic ones. But with that being said, I mean, I'm going to give it a solid 8 because I think it is a really great one. I think that I'm interested to see what other films he comes up with. He looks like he loves the horror genre and suspense. So I feel like we're going to have another great film, especially from how well this one's doing. He's definitely going to have another film coming out soon. Any other final thoughts, Vinny?
No. Dorky David from Legally Blonde.
Shout out. That's how I know him. I know none of his other films, only from Legally Blonde.
So, but he definitely cooked something here.
He did.
And I'm excited to see, because I haven't seen anything that he directed or wrote before this.
I haven't either.
So maybe I'll check it out. If not, I'm excited to see what he does in the future.
Yeah. Okay. Well, everybody, thank you so much for watching our episode. Please let us know what you thought in the comments of this film if you've seen it. Do you agree with us? Did you think that the ending was a little bit wonky? Did you absolutely love it? Do you think it's one of the best horror films of this year ever? Because that's what the marketing is saying. Do you think it compares to Silence of the Lambs, Zodiac? These are just some of the films that the marketing team was claiming that this film is like. But we love talking with you guys in the comments, so please let us know your thoughts. Also, please sure to give this video a like and subscribe. We are the Culture Wave Media Network, and we are covering all things film and television. You can also follow us on social media. We are at Cinema Wave Media and at _ Culture Wave Media on Instagram, as well as at Cinema Wave Media on TikTok and Threads, and Culture Wave on Facebook. Just signing off, I am Liz Seiko.
And I'm Vinny Albano.
Thank you for watching.
This is The Culture.